The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got a payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
Welcome to Foxborough, everybody, on what is a solemn anniversary, and not just because you have to pay your taxes today, but obviously 1 year ago was the Boston Marathon bombings, and all over Boston and all over New England today, people are commemorating that awful event, and remembering the people who perished. I'm Eric Scalavino, along with Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. No Fred Kirsch today on PFW in Progress, but the show must go on, and that's why we're here. We will be here for the next 2 hours to entertain, hopefully, you, with all kinds of discussion. I have no idea what we're going to talk about today, but I'm sure it'll be entertaining as it usually is. We'll talk some football, obviously, and whatever other things come to mind. We might have a special guest, I'm told.
I bet we will.
At some point today, during the show?
I think we probably will, and I think he only wants to talk to me. I think he's a guy that is, he found out maybe you guys make fun of him and have little,
I have no idea what
impersonations
you're about,
of him, and you know, he decided
sometimes
he
God
didn't want to be in the same room as you. Yes, Matthew Slater, later in the show, will join us.
A little
us.
Bit Slater. We'll talk to him.
He was slate when I taped it, because I'm unlike Fred. I taped it. I was going to, the second he turned the corner and I saw him, I was going to say, we should call you Matthew later, not Slater. But I didn't, you know, want to aggravate him. He was in traffic.
And he's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy. The nicest. And it's it's an interesting interview. Probably not quite as jocular as some of ours usually are, because it was just one-on-one, so you couldn't really jab him too much, but
nobody to laugh at your inane jokes.
Right, you know, it's weird, and I was laughing at my own, and it gets awkward.
That always happens.
Were you doing the Patty Rubble laugh?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, second hour, a nice Matthew Slater interview where
I'll bet he was.
He had some interesting things to say about a couple different topics.
So, okay,
well, I think it's a worthwhile interview.
We will look forward to
it. They're all
that.
Worthwhile here in PFW in Progress.
Yes.
That's
even
right.
Even when we can't all be a part of them.
So what do you guys think of my Captain America Under Armour shirt?
I know. He was walking all over. He comes in this morning. He comes in this morning to the cube where Maura and I sit. You know, the common room, as we like to call it.
The common room.
You know, where the
common
food,
area.
Yeah.
Yep.
The food is usually
and there was food there today.
Right. And he comes in, and he all of a sudden just starts untucking his shirt with this goofy grin on his face. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? And then he pulls his shirt up, and he's got a nice Under Armour Captain America tight workout shirt on underneath his PFW polo shirt. And then so I asked him, are you going to wear that for the marathon?
Indeed.
Next week.
Indeed.
But why are you wearing it today?
Well, because we have our the Patriots Charitable Foundation team, all 50 members, not just employees.
50 this year.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll all be here tonight, but we're having our pre-dinner big spaghetti dinner here at Gillette Stadium to go over final logistics and busing and different things, hydration, nutrition, and, you know, just gather and
strategize.
Yeah. Yep. And as part of that, they want to take a team photo with us wearing our jerseys, which are red tank tops.
And what's wrong with the red tank top,
Andy? It's a little low cut for me. I would love to see females in it, but I don't want to see my nipples and my hair in my chest. So I have my, and I'm going to wear this race day too. This is,
yes, that's what
I decided. Yeah. So I'm wearing it tonight to test it out. I'm going to run in it tomorrow to give it a test drive. And,
Now, are you going to, on race day, are you going to take your red tank top and put like a little slit at the top so that when you cross the finish line, you can Hulk Hogan it and just tear it open and reveal yourself as
No, I don't think so. And I think the shield will sort of show above.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think. And yeah.
You're going to wear the mask too?
No, you're not allowed to.
No, not allowed to wear masks?
No, no, that's part of the official rules.
Can't carry, probably
can't
because
carry
of
the shield either, right?
Nope, you can't carry props. It's kind of like an end zone.
Is this
in the
because
NFL,
of?
You
know? Was this? Wait, hold on. Serious question. Is this as a result of what happened last year? Or So before in previous years, you might have been able to dress.
There
up?
Were people in character.
Well, Andy did last year, and now he can't.
He went.
That's why he didn't finish.
I went as what's that guy you call me, Stewie? From Family Guy.
From Family Guy?
I don't call you that, but all the listeners do.
But no, yeah, one of some of the rules were and no flags, which is of counter in some ways. You're not allowed to have, because some people used to have, they would run with actual full American flags.
That's got, it's tough enough to run any long distance.
Right.
But to do so holding like that, because, I mean, the natural running posture, obviously, is you have to have your arms swinging on your side.
Ridiculously difficult. You know, it was only a 5K.
Says the expert, Paul Perillo.
No, but I mean, to run like...
When he runs to the refrigerator, if he has a flag in his hand, it's tough to get to that Miller Lite.
Did you ever try to run from here to the corner with something in your hand just straight out without, like Eric is talking about?
Not once.
Ridiculously hard. Ridiculously hard.
Well, I always laugh at the guys that crisscross NFL stadiums carrying those stupid flags after touchdowns.
Right. They all look like gymnasts, too, and they come out with the long white pants and the short t-shirts.
They're like the male cheerleaders, too, for the college. You know, the SEC.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They do it upright down there. I did go to a 5K over the weekend.
Notice he said go to.
Yes.
He attended. He attended
a
5K.
I supported financially as well as emotionally, and I did take part in the mile walk. I did not do the 5K run, but it was in honor of a fallen firefighter in my town whose son is on my baseball team, has been with my oldest son, Will. He's been a teammate of him for about 4 years now. But... several of the firemen get all decked out in full gear and run the 5K.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just
in the boots too?
Everything. They have have their tanks, you know, the helmets.
That's
the
like
full
what's
full
that like
gear.
60 pounds or
full
whatever
gear, and they ran the 5K in them.
Good
and
God.
One of the guys, a good friend of mine that did it, and just it's ridiculously impressive to watch. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're
it's
all
not,
banned
not easy.
From the merit because they used to have a large crew of military that would do it in full pack and garb
camouflage
and everything.
And
they're
everything.
Not allowed to do it anymore.
Wow, I wonder how long that's going to last.
It'll peel back at some point. You know, sort of like airport things and various things have sort of peeled back or loosened up.
How are you feeling at this point?
I feel good.
Seriously, like a
but
week away, a week
like,
out.
Like last year, the big
year
thing
was
dealing
with
a significant ankle injury.
Light
last
years
year.
Ahead. I ran this morning, fell. I mean, it's only 3 miles now, but.
Is that all? You have anything else to do before?
Four tomorrow, two
Four
Thursday.
Tomorrow. Beth was asking me.
All light this week.
Yeah, it tapers down to nothing, basically. You know, some people do there's actually a 5K, a BAA 5K on Saturday.
Yeah.
That some people do as like a last kind of warm up or whatever, but no. My last run will be on Thursday.
So, Eric, I was, for the 5K that I went to over the weekend, Will ran it. And he's never really run, you know, any distance. He's probably never run a mile for anything. But he wanted to
like
do this.
Like his dad.
And my wife was going to do it. Unfortunately, she suffered a stress fracture. So she's got about 8 weeks that she can't do any running. So she wasn't
From
able
training?
To do it. Yeah. Yeah. She was all set to do it. She's been running 5Ks. Not the actual races, but she's been
that
running.
Length. Yeah.
Yeah. She's been running 4 or 5 miles. Which is even longer than the 5K. But so my son really wanted to do it, so he ended up doing it with my niece. And so I sent Andy a text, and I said he just finished, and it started at 9 o'clock, so I just looked at my phone real quick, said, you know, he did it in 27 minutes and change, which is not bad.
That's not bad at all.
It ended up being about 31 minutes, his official time.
Yeah. Still,
so I get a text back from Andy. Tell Will as an experienced marathoner that's really good. That's awesome.
Now, did you respond to him and say an experienced marathoner?
Well, you know, by that, do you mean one who's never finished one?
I got a medal.
You did, but that was very nice of you to do that. And I was really impressed. I wanted to give a shout out to my son, Will.
That is. Good
he's
job,
at school
Will
now when he can't listen.
He's but the next
right.
great, as Fred would say, American
the next
runner.
Great tight end.
Did you give him a hug when you got home last night, Paul?
I did, but then I found myself yelling at him about 20 minutes later. Because he was pissing me off about something totally different.
It is pretty crazy.
But I did, I did give him a hug.
All these memorials today and Sports Center's live. And I mean, I knew local stations with, but for Sports Center to be live and Bob Lee...
Yes,
up there
little much?
He was, yeah, and everything.
Little much?
I just—it's weird. I don't know. I don't know how I would look at it if it was the New York City Marathon.
I think it's kind of it's obviously not the magnitude of it wasn't as bad as the destruction that we saw on 9/11, but it was the first really major attack on this country since then.
Yeah,
and it was sports related. So
that's the sports part makes it bigger because everybody has a connection to sports and it's sort of a unifying.
But it's not just any sport. Like it could have, you know, it could easily have been the Santa Fe Marathon if there is one.
I don't
but
think
the fact that it's the Boston
this.
Marathon.
I think that's why. I think
it's so prestigious. It's the history.
Well, I think it's the fact that ESPN's in Connecticut and it's a New England entity in its heart, and I think if this were the Chicago Marathon, I don't think you'd be getting this level.
Maybe
of attention. Certainly, New York would get that because New York gets that kind of attention all the time. But another big city marathon, I don't think would be getting the same amount of attention. Now, listen, some of the stuff that's been written and talked about has been extremely powerful and well done. Some of the writing and some of the stories that we've seen. It's been some good tributes. It's been some good stuff to watch and to remember. It's I kind of look at it in two ways, and I read the story that about the Richard family here in Boston. They lost their 8-year-old son, Martin Richard, was one of the four people who died in the attack. And it was a very in-depth profile of basically their whole year and just the horrors that whole family has been through. They had everybody who was affected in the family. They had the father and the mother and father as well as three children. One of them died. One of them lost a leg. And one of them had superficial wounds but obviously was front and center for all of the horrific sights and sounds. So they really had a difficult year dealing with the aftermath of it. It was very strong, and it was well written and stuff. But it just kind of you want to at the same time make sure you're giving space to people like that. I thought, Andy, when reading that, the thing that really came through was how hard they've tried to stay out of
the limelight.
Yeah. You know, they kind of want their time to just sort of be on their own and deal with it and put those pieces back together the way they want to, not necessarily in front of the public to see.
Andy, did you guys do you always have what's it called? The spaghetti run, the spaghetti dinner?
Yeah, we had one last year. Yeah.
But isn't it usually closer to race day?
Well, I think what this is a separate. There's other ones.
The big one is Sunday night, right?
Yeah, there's
there is
BAA
one
that everybody can go to.
Oh, okay.
But I think this is just the team version, and they kind of spread it out on purpose
that. That's what I was wondering.
Conflicting and different.
Every night.
Well, yeah. Plus, it allows people to go to other ones.
Spaghetti every night.
Well, it's only Wednesday, right?
That's spaghetti day.
Prince Spaghetti Day.
Oh, sorry.
Right. I did want to point out something cool that the five major Boston sports teams did this morning at 10 o'clock. They all did a joint tweet where they just, the Boston Strong, a photo of the marathon and all their logos, the Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots,
and
Revs.
Northeastern being the fifth, Northeastern University. No.
I didn't go 27 deep on the major sports programs in Boston. But I thought that was kind of cool. And there's been a wide variety of those. And I did want to thank Kavrin Harris. Is it Kavrin?
Yes.
Kavrin. He sent me actually the texts that he followed me last year in the marathon, and he sent me screen capture of the texts. And I hadn't actually seen those. I thought that was kind of cool that he had those and forwarded those along to me on Twitter. So my pacing for the first three or four markers along the way was kind of interesting. But, it's it is a strange day, week, for me personally.
Does it feel like a year?
Yes, it does. But it's you know me, I don't really take a lot all that seriously, and things just kind of brush it off, and I don't. But reading the story, the two-parter in the Globe about the Richards family and various things have made it a little more, like, brought it back more realistic. And I think that's been interesting for me personally, just to see and feel.
And Andy got a chance to, you know, talk about some of his, you know, experiences on Gretchen Zoe today.
Yes.
For those of you that listen to the Sports Hub here in Boston, I'm sure that that'd be up on their website as part of some sort of podcast or whatnot with part of their Gretchen Zoe program, which runs from 10 to 2 here locally in Boston on the Sports Hub, 98.5, flagship station.
They didn't have to point out at like three various times that I'm not, quote, built like a marathoner.
Well,
interesting from Andy Gresh.
would you want to
built like a...
built like several marathoners.
I don't know what he's built like.
Several marathoners put together.
Yeah, like 10. You know how many Kenyans it would take to make Andy Gresh?
Built like an out-of-shape defensive tackle. How's that sound?
Well, I have a feeling that, I mean, the Boston Marathon is always a high-profile event and a much-watched event, but I have a feeling this year is going to break all kinds of records. People who don't normally watch marathons will be interested in some way, whether or not they're watching.
Totally agree.
You know, the whole 2 or 4 hours of coverage, whatever it is, they're going to be at least wanting to find out results
and news. Record-breaking in terms of not the field. It's going to be the second greatest field ever. The 100th.
Behind the 100th.
I believe had it. But they expanded it to 36,000, which is about 9,000 more than previously. But certainly it was already, the Boston Marathon is already annually the largest one-day spectator sporting event in the world. Mm. And they are actually expecting, on average, they get about 500,000 over the 26 miles. They're expecting that could double to 1 million people along the course. And I'm interested to see that because I only have one to go by, but.
Yep.
And I felt
big,
like last year.
It was big, right?
Yeah. But I felt like last year there were pretty much people the whole way. Mm. Doubling that, I can only imagine what that's going to feel like and sort of how that plays out. Cross your fingers for weather. There were early 10 day forecasts
that had rain.
Forecast
early?
Right now we're settling into high 50s, low 60s, partly cloudy, sunny,
comfy,
maybe a little wind.
So comfy.
Yeah.
For running weather.
If running 26 miles can be comfortable.
Well, I mean, as comfortable as
for those of us that aren't built like a marathoner, not built like Andy Gresh.
Not hygienic.
Well, we're not going to just talk marathon today. We will still probably talk about it.
Football!
But there is some football that we can talk about as well, and you can join us on that in any of those discussions. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. There are various international numbers. Andy, as you are wont to do, would you like to pick an international number and hope we can get somebody to call in from one of these
overseas the guys,
locales?
All our callers in Australia already know it, so good night, mates. Give us a call. Where do I want to go? I'm going to go España. 9-0-0-8-3-4-8-9-7. What accent was that?
That sounded like a Spanish Norwegian.
I'll say it again in English for the Spaniards.
Yeah, Scandinavian Spanish. That's what it was. You're right.
It was the guy, you guys haven't seen Frozen, but he says, "What did you just call me?" And he stands up and beats the snot out of the guy.
Oh.
What did you just call me?
That escalated quickly.
900.
Sounds like a nice kid's
picture. Yeah. Right. I'm trying to read a number here. 900-834-897. That's 900-834-897. Give us a call from the Spanish motherland if you're in a cafe.
And it is ringing as we speak. So,
is that from Spain?
I don't know, but
ask and ye shall receive.
The line is ringing.
The internet's an impressive thing if that's from Spain.
If
like
you're
I'm here and they're there and boom, they're calling.
If you're in the United States and you want to call free, you can also do that. 855-PATS-500. Is the way you can do that in here. Before we get to any of the calls and emails, what should we put on the table as far as either Patriots and or NFL discussion?
Well, I got an interesting one that I think is connected to New England. The latest reports that Donald Trump is indeed going to make a legitimate run at the Buffalo Bills, buying the Bills, to keep them in Buffalo. As he said, I live in New York. I don't want to move him across the country. This is where I'm based. And so he wants to keep him in New York. Reports have indicated that he's worth somewhere in the range of $3.7 billion or something. So certainly would appear, at least on paper, to have the financial wherewithal to buy the Bills.
And he wouldn't be the only, I would assume.
Right. There may be other investors and all that. And obviously he has the history with the USFL and that, what was the documentary called that he was a big part of?
Small Potatoes.
Is that what it was?
I think that's what it was called, wasn't it?
The 30 for 30?
Yeah. The 30 for 30? I think it was called Small Potatoes.
But he was involved
in that.
That's
what he said to the guy. It was, you know.
And I found it interesting. I believe it was Florio I was reading, that muckraking site, Pro Football Talk, that, questioned, you know, he has the financial ability, but would he get the approval? Would it be a welcome owner?
Yeah.
And we know he certainly is welcome at Gillette Stadium.
He is. He's been here several times.
Is a friend. I don't think I'm misspeaking to say is a friend of.
He's been
arguably the most powerful
family many times.
So, you know, it would be interesting to see if Robert would be back a Trump pursuit of the Bills. Would he persuade other owners to vote for it? Would he be on his side? If he didn't, would that be sort of a wedge in a relationship that they clearly have had over the years? But I thought that was interesting, that a good friend of Mr. Kraft's could be in line to pursue a team in the division.
Well, that also brings up the interesting question as to when they play each other, especially here at Gillette.
Would Trump go up to the
Kraft box and sit there together? They already have the established friendship, the kinship.
They might. You never know. He sat there before.
That'd be a great photo op.
Sure. But I thought that was interesting, and the potential life that he would inject into that franchise as a... He's a world-renowned businessman. Yep. Whatever you think of him politically, hair-wise, TV-wise.
Hair-wise.
Well, I mean, he's had successes and failures all over the world with resorts, with golf, with various
developments
ventures.
In general, yeah.
So I think he would be, you know, Ralph Wilson was an old-school, dying, old-guy owner. This would be a new, you know, potential injection of life into a franchise that the Patriots have, despite what Brandon Spikes thinks, absolutely bitch-slapped for the better part of a decade and a half.
Did he say he wanted to keep them in Buffalo or in New York? Because I think there's a difference there.
Well, there is a difference. You're right. I don't know.
I button-hooked you there, didn't I?
Well, I mean, he wouldn't be allowed, I don't think, to move to, like, New York City. So, I would think the greater Buffalo area.
Okay.
Otherwise, where are you going to go?
Yeah. I can't imagine that he would want to keep the current home.
No.
The way it is.
He certainly, it sounded like, would be interested in a new stadium, new facility. But it sounded, you know, Fred was talking about there's been discussions of moving to the Niagara Falls on the border.
That'd be really nice.
Niagara.
Yeah.
Gives you more of Canada.
Yeah.
Gives you maybe, as Fred says, there's casinos and gambling right across the border.
There is.
He literally was rubbing his hands together.
Yeah. Like Fred takes part.
I wonder if Trump has any casinos in right near there.
Oh, I don't know if he has.
Well, he wouldn't be able to, right? If he was going to be an owner, they would have to. He would.
Well, you know how that works.
Yeah,
his daughter would own it.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure that the gambling thing.
So he'd have to get rid of all
his gambling thing might be seen differently. I, again, as we are wanting to do on this program,
we don't know anything.
We just know a little bit about a whole complicated issue.
Well, but certainly, if they asked Trump to give up his casino holdings, I think
he's out.
I think he would be out. Yeah,
and for that reason, I am out.
Yeah, I think he would push his chips to the side and say, "I'm."
Especially if they really made him give him up. Now, if just the son does one, because I think now, like, the son does all the golf courses, or the girl does this, or they are sort of diversified and each has an area of expertise.
Right.
But I certainly don't think he would be giving up. Although, he's got quite an ego. He might want to just be part of the 32-man club so that, you know, he's arm in arm with Jerry Jones and Robert at the meetings and all that kind of stuff and seen as that guy.
Wow. The other bit of NFL news that sort of came out this week was that there was a lot of speculation that this Thursday was going to be the day that the schedule finally came out. And the NFL announced yesterday that they will announce when they're going to announce the 2014 schedule. And it's not going to be this week.
Correct.
So that's all
other
we know.
Than that, we don't know.
See, that's one of those things I'm glad that I don't care, because I didn't know that the schedule was supposed to come out on Thursday.
Right.
Someone came up to me today and said, did you hear that? I go, what? The schedule's not going to be coming out this week? I go, had no idea it was supposed to come out this week. Yeah, I mean, when the schedule comes out, they'll tell us what, you know, when they're playing. And I'm going to guess it's going to be several months before, you know, the start of the season. You're going to find out, and that's when I'll find out. And I understand, like, for fans.
That'd be funny. September, like, 8th, we find out. Yeah. We got a game tomorrow, just so you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, for fans that want to, like, plan trips to road games, you know, I had a lot of friends who like to go to the Miami game every year. So they want to know as soon as they possibly can what the date is at Miami so they can get flights and hotels. And I understand, you know, you need to know, but you'll find out. You know,
plus, if you're a Rams fan, you really want to know. You got $100K on the line.
That's true.
If you guess their schedule, $100K.
perfectly. You have to be
perfectly.
Perfect.
One entry per blah blah blah.
And
so it's
also
like
it's also
minor
times.
League version of yes. Warren Buffett.
Yes. But it's times as well.
Yeah, which I need to know. You know, we don't know about
stickless for like 4:25 or 4:05.
And what about flex scheduling?
Yeah,
if you're wrong to start and it gets flexed in, are you right?
Oh,
or you,
yeah,
man. Or if you're right and
I'm
then it gets flexed,
you know.
Are you wrong?
I'm guessing it's the original schedule.
They should get rid of the time element to that. If you get all the schedule,
because that's still impressive.
16 games in the right spots.
Now I could see if they said. We want you to guess Monday night or Sunday night.
Right. Well, yeah, you
not necessarily 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, but at least the date. Like,
date,
this is
opponent,
a Sunday night.
And bye.
That's
all 17 Monday weeks.
Night by putting all that stuff in there, that's ensuring that you're not going to have to pay it out.
Right, but it still looks good. People like me go, wow, that'd be pretty cool, 100 grand. Right? Because a lot of teams are doing it. The Patriots are doing it. They
have
a guest, and you get season tickets, pregame passes, mm-hmm. things of that nature. But 100 grand is
did
like,
anyone come even remotely close to the Buffett?
No, they were out in round two, I think.
But well, you're saying round two, but like
no, I'm saying round two. I don't do it
actual
their way.
Round. Okay, two. No, it was first round.
It was.
No
okay.
one got through Thursday afternoon.
Oh, really?
It was done Thursday afternoon.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Well.
So there was literally like six games had been played and people were out.
So you're saying there's nope. I'm not saying there's
it's
no
never happened.
A
like I know Fred likes to say, you know, someone's had a, like ESPN gets millions of entries that no one's ever gotten a perfect bracket.
Got a lot of publicity.
Yeah.
It's good. Got a lot of people hot and bothered.
There was some NFL.com, I think, you know, that had, not that it was a huge surprise, but Gronkowski, according to Dr. Andrews, to begin jogging and running or something.
Or is it yogging?
Yogging. I'm not sure if it's a soft J.
It's Polish.
So, you know, that just one minor sort of Patriots-related
Not impressed.
Nugget. No, I'm not either. I mean, I think we all knew that. You know, he had a torn ACL in December. It's,
plus, that day when he jumped out of like the area over here with his lunch, and Chandler Jones taped a little vine. Yeah. He looks good.
Oh, Paul, would you like to expound on your analysis of the preseason schedule, which you did for Patriots.com last week?
That we did last week. Yeah, no, I have no further analysis. Of
that. Did you guess it right? All four? Did you win anything?
I did not guess it right, and didn't win anything. Nor did I make any analytical observations of such.
All right. Joe, who are we drafting?
Kevin.
Yeah, I wanted to take a quick break because now that we've set the table, we've given people time to think a little bit about that.
We don't need any breaks until the food gets in.
Oh, we will. Don't
you
worry.
Don't be wasting breaks now.
No, don't you worry.
You guys going to fight?
We're going to take a quick one.
Whatever you do, Eric, do not criticize Steve Spurrier. Just saying. Paul loves Steve Spurrier.
I don't love him.
Wait, what? Believe they might have a child together.
I just don't dismiss everything he says because... He hasn't had
did
a great
you guys
track
have a child
record.
Together? Is it Josh
sort of
McDaniels?
An inside joke between the three of us? And the
I don't remember him saying
that
Danny
Werfel
report. Was going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL.
But Connor Shaw.
He likes Connor Shaw.
All right, quick timeout here, and then we'll get to calls and emails after the break. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500, go.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats. Maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But
remember
they
that?
Take that field out, man.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
The grass is soft today, that's for sure, because it is pouring here in the New England area.
New.
Yeah. I just fertilized a couple of weeks ago, so this is nice. My grass is already really green. I might have to cut it next week.
Well, that's not good.
It's already growing pretty quickly. But not you done any yard work at all?
No.
Anyway, nothing?
Nope.
My grass
nothing?
Needs a lot of work. It's all matted down. I got
no raking? Nothing?
I still got all
the winter leaves and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I don't have any leaves or anything because I cleaned the leaves off before. But
do you? Well, but, you know,
yeah,
we had a lot of wind
you get
yesterday.
A guy.
No, not for leaves.
Do you rake them or
I
do
have
you
a mulcher.
Paul's more of a blower. You can flick that over and make it a sucker, too, you know.
Oh, God.
Most of them are blower and suckers.
Robin in Alaska.
I don't get a lot of leaves in the yard. I've cut down all the trees.
We should just. It's like a vacuum cleaner. She sucks. She blows.
Hey. Leave that for Christian, okay? Don't step on his material.
A day of remembrance and.
Right. Just, we're all just trying to get along here.
Don't turn it into that. We should probably just mention, I think, one of the funnier NFL stories we're going to have this year, even though it's only April. Alden Smith.
Oh, my God, yeah. What in the world?
Saying he had a bomb, joking at
idiot
security.
Good God.
You know how I say there's certain things you don't do? Like in comedy, you stay away from Hitler and the Holocaust. You don't make jokes about certain...
Right.
When you're in an airport,
it's
pretty self-explanatory. By the way, whether you've been drinking or not, drinking not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
To say, not say, oh, why don't you check me again? I have a bomb.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Idiot. And I mean, this is a guy that's had his other issues, but to me,
that's
is beyond
simply
idiotic. Moronic. There's no excuse. I don't care if you're the dumbest person on the planet. You know, it's basically what is written into our Constitution that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right. Yeah.
But I hadn't heard, by the way, the clip from one of the Fockers, I guess, when he's on the plane and then he gets in trouble and he goes bombity bombity bomb bomb. What if I'm in the military and I'm a bombardier? I can't say bombardier on a plane. I'm like, very funny clip that I heard the audio
Paul,
yesterday.
That's a bomb joke,
right?
Right. Well, I guess he was based on the clip I heard. I haven't seen. He was trying to squeeze his bag into the overhead and couldn't. And she said something. It's not like I have a bomb in there or something. And he got arrested. And then he's like being interrogated. And he goes bombity. I can say bomb bombity bombity bomb bomb bomb.
Wow.
And apparently that's what Alden Smith did.
Yeah.
And then he got all
just ridiculous.
You know, really indignant about it and argumentative.
Which only makes things worse.
It's amazing to me that someone could actually do that. You know, I mean,
I think you're giving him a little too much credit.
But he's yelling at his friends like, you know, record this, you know, make sure you tape this.
Yeah,
tape
good call
this.
There.
Yeah.
Want to have evidence of you being a moron.
So we can all see how stupid you are?
So you can actually go to jail for a year?
If you truly are kidding about something like that and you make the foolish mistake of saying it, keep going with the, I was really just, you know, I was kidding, I was just just kidding. I didn't mean it. I was, you know, don't aggravate the situation.
Right.
My God.
And, you know, the side issue, well, there's a few side issues. The fact that, you know, the 49ers are at the point where they need to decide financially what they're going to do with him.
Mm. Much
pick,
like we
not only
about
pick
Nate
up
Solder.
The option, but are you looking to commit to a 5-year extension or whatever with him for a guy who has been very productive as a sack master? I think it's like 43 sacks in 44 games or something, basically his average a sack a game. But the other issue is he's a guy that missed time because of an alcohol problem who was apparently drinking. I mean, that's an issue here. You know, if you truly wanted to turn your career around and you, how long did he spend in rehab or 4 weeks or whatever last year? He went to rehab.
Five, and, I think it was 5 games he missed.
Well, clearly it didn't work because he's in an airport drinking, causing a problem. So that didn't work. And yeah, I wouldn't want to re-sign him.
No, it's one of those deals that if I were the Niners, I'd let him play out this deal and play out this year. And you know,
and then Fred Kirsch,
put it off.
Just go.
Put him off for a year, and I would be very reluctant to sink any long-term
We will
money
get people, though, who will say, hey, you know, we could get him on the cheap.
Oh,
hey,
sure.
He's got,
sure.
You know,
value,
he's got issues.
Value, right, yeah. I don't want
well,
to.
Well, we can start those emails now.
Yeah.
You know, because every.
Hopefully, thankfully, we don't have any of those.
Most of our emails have to do with, can we sign him? It's either an injured guy or a bad guy, and we want to sign him on a prove it to me deal.
Sure.
Yeah. 1 year prove it.
Rotate him through with Ninkovic and Jones. You know, our locker room, obviously.
Now, obviously, Alden Smith can play. I mean, his talent is there.
Quick,
we know that.
Quick email before we get to the phones. We mentioned earlier at the top of the show the anniversary. Of the attacks at last year's Boston Marathon. This is also a happy anniversary day for Robin in Alaska. He says, I'm emailing today to shout out to the most rabid Patriots fan I know, my wife, Sarah. It's her birthday today. We're both 36 now. And after being with her for 22 years, I can truly say my life would not be the same without her. People often ask us, you two have been a couple since you were 14 years old. What's the secret? To which I reply, there is no secret. We're miserable. Happy birthday, Sarah. You're the best.
We're Robin, in Alaska. We in can't Alaska. Do any better.
You were just watching...
Buying Alaska.
Buying Alaska,
they can't do
right?
any better. You got all these weird women that are like park rangers and hairy.
We're starting in January. We're going to lay more pipe.
Okay, Sarah Palin's pretty hot, right?
He amazes me. He really does.
I'm guessing there's not a
he
lot
goes,
of lookers.
He goes
in,
through this whole thing on how, like, the you know the comedians, the things they have to stay away from.
Right.
And then just, there's not a right, lot of options in Alaska. I mean, they have all these weird looking.
You think there's a lot of hot women in Alaska?
I have no idea.
I bet there's not. You go through Max some hometown hotties. I'm guessing not
a
lot of them are from
probably
Junu or whatever the hell you say it.
Junu. I would guess there's probably more hot women in L.A. than
yes.
Alaska.
Don't you know?
I'm going to guess. Joey, you know.
What about North Carolina? Harley in North Carolina. How are the hotties down there?
Hog!
Harley.
How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
Hog?
Doing all right. I want to thank y'all for starting a rumor, getting us to Rail Revis.
You're welcome.
Another rumor I like to...
Okay.
Now Andy's taking credit for it.
Yeah,
he's
but see,
yelling
we,
at everybody like 2 months ago.
We were trying to get Larry Fitzgerald here, too, but that never worked.
Yeah. Well, all right, with the O-line we had last year, I mean, look what they did with LeGarrette Blount. Why isn't no one talking about us trying to sign Chris Johnson?
Huh? Wait, I don't get the question, really.
I mean, all the plays with LeGarrette Blount broke last year.
Yeah.
I have to run back Chris Johnson. I mean,
I'm not sure what Chris Johnson is at this point. I still have my doubts, and he's definitely a totally different type, speed-based running back. So, you know, I don't think the comparison necessarily to Blount and what he was able to do with his size and everything is an apt one.
If I could get Chris Johnson on the same contract that Blount played last year on, I'd be all for it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But I don't think that's going to happen.
And he is in New York today visiting the Jets for the first time, and some people believe they will not allow him to leave.
And I also have heard some things to Harley's point that, you know, the Jets seem to be the only real serious suitor right now. So maybe it wouldn't cost as much as some people thought originally,
point.
And you could get them for a little bit less.
And another question I have is, I was on watching NFL Network, and New York Giants is shopping around for a quarterback. You could see us trading Mallett for like a second or third round pick, maybe?
Nope.
The Giants? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the Giants.
The Giants would be looking for a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So why are they going to give a second-round pick for a backup quarterback?
Well, Eli,
and they have Eli Manning.
Start the first four games.
What?
Eli Manning might have better start the first four games for an ankle injury.
he's coming off of surgery, but he's their quarterback. They're not going to trade a second-round pick for a guy to back up Eli Manning.
And a guy who's still totally unproven and remains a question mark.
Right. Well, they're not going to give a second-round pick for Ryan Mallett under any circumstance, starter or not. But, I mean, especially in this circumstance, they have Eli Manning as their guy.
I know Patriots fans want a will there to be a trade value for Ryan Mallett and the ability to get, the Houston or the whatever to give up a high pick. I think you'd be lucky to get like a fifth or sixth rounder at this point.
I would also like to get a viable backup quarterback first. Well, before I get rid of the only one I have
is a separate issue. Now you have to draft a quarterback, and you have to draft a quarterback. You know, our Mettenberger theory may go out the window because you need a quarterback who can be backup in September.
Yeah, ready to go away. Yeah, that's a good point too. Adam Schefter had something along the lines of what Andy just said this week, and
thanks Harley for the call.
Talking about Patriots fans and the Patriots in general, going to be disappointed to learn that there's really not a market for Ryan Mallett. Now, Schefter did say that could change come the summer, depending on what things happen, elsewhere. If to Harley's point, if Eli Manning has, a couple of setbacks in his recovery here and maybe he's going to miss the year, well, then maybe that ups the...
Really? Schefter said that, huh?
Schefter said they're
disappointed. So he's off the bandwagon of last year when he said one of the best players of the summer was Ryan Mallett?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
When are people going to start to realize we may not know a lot? There are things that certainly a lot of people know more than us
about. In fact, we may know nothing.
But we've been pretty damn accurate with the backup quarterback situation in New England with guys like Brian Hoyer, who Michael Lombardi would give a first-round pick for if he was in San Francisco, or Ryan Mallett, who Adam Schefter tried to tell us last summer was one of the, not backups, not one of the stories of the summer. Was Ryan Mallett. And I forgot the exact wording, but it wasn't like he was picking from a bottom of the barrel sleeper. He had him as some great summer story.
Yeah.
People need to understand, the one thing we do is go to practice, watch practice, and have eyes that have seen a little bit of football and can say, well, that guy's not really the next Brady. That guy's not really we watch it. I'm sorry, people. So when we sometimes say, the guys just can't play, and the guy's not going to garner you a second round or a first round pick, even when Michael Lombardi or Adam Schefter might be spewing something that somebody put in their mouth for him and slapped the back of their head to make it come out. We're telling the truth.
And even if it's unfair to say somebody's not the next Brady, because very few people are going to be the next Brady,
or not the next Matt Schaub,
we have the luxury of seeing these players next to Brady. Brady takes a few reps, the next guy comes in, takes a few reps. But we can see whether or not the guy taking the next reps is capable of running an offense at the NFL level.
The best thing Ryan Mallett ever did was take reps ahead of Tim Tebow. It's the only time he ever looked good.
Yeah.
Because he was better than Tebow. Good shot this week from... an elite athlete in the NFL, a young playmaker. Damn it. Made a joke about Tebow on All Access, NFL Access. I take my 2-year-old son over Tebow.
LeSean McCoy.
Oh, I knew it was a playmaker type.
Wow.
I'll take my 2-year-old son over Tebow.
That's even meaner than anything I've ever said. I mean, I know it would, if my son would have to be at least 14 before I'd take him over Tebow.
All right, Blake writes in from Ohio. Was just doing some research on this year's tight end class. Came across two guys that might fit with the Pats in the second round. Troy Nicholas from Notre Dame. C.J. Fedorowicz from Iowa, both seem like viable options. They have the size at 6'7", 270 and 6'6", 265, respectively, to play next to Gronk, hopefully he has in parentheticals, and contribute in the passing and running game. I know Andy likes Austin Seferian Jenkins in the first round.
I'm a little off him.
But why not use that pick to address the offensive/defensive lines or strong safety? Have you guys looked at their tape? And if so, what do you think?
Well, first of all, my updated pick for the Patriots mock draft tracker. I am off Seferian Jenkins.
Because?
These rumblings about his attitude and his personality, are starting to bother me. There's more
too
of these
similar
now.
To,
not quite Hernandez-esque. More,
football character.
Yeah. Just a hole. Okay. Not like, he's not going to execute.
Prima donna. Kind of.
Not a hard worker, do your job, team first, football first, all that crap.
Yeah.
That they like to talk about around here and with a lot of teams. So I changed that to Nick's, looking at some depth on the defensive line, because as he says, there's some questions about safety. There's some safeties are going to go. Ha-Ha Dix is going to go in the first round. Pryor, maybe a first-round pick, first, second. My guy Buchanan is certainly more of a second-round prospect. So as you start to map out, same thing with tight ends. If, you know, I've sort of slotted those as two spots I feel like they really need to address. But if you don't get Ebron or Amaro, well, now maybe you are dipping into the Nicholas Fedorowicz second-round type pool. If they trade back, now they may have multiple second-round picks to address those needs, value of that pick, blah, blah, blah. I'm still – I know people are talking offensive line. I'm not in love with it.
I don't want offensive line.
Not, I mean, not I, with the first I know you
I don't even want interior defensive line. I know a lot of people talk defensive tackle, too, and that's –
And, Paul, we've talked about it. It really is a two-year window you have to look at when you're talking about the draft, and it makes a lot of sense looking at positions that aren't necessarily a need this year but could be a need next year. Wilfork, Kelly, Conley, guys who may not be here moving forward, a year early you draft their success. Even, you know, my theory with Mallett. You're not drafting Brady's heir. You're drafting Mallett's heir as the backup quarterback next year when Mallett's not here. So, you know, there is some consideration there, but I bristle at it because I say, well, that's fine and dandy. I need to fill holes next year. That's great. Well, what about the hole at tight end or safety or pass rusher that I have right now?
And that's what I would rather see them focus on, but we'll see. You know, and you know, Andy's theory about next year. You know, you talk about Wilfork and Kelly are back for the defensive tackle. So are they going to be back next year? Who knows? Running back. You have two rookie running backs that you took a couple years ago in Vereen and Ridley that are on their last year of their rookie deals.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be back? So does running back get any you don't have a lot of depth at linebacker. It is really a funny situation that a team as good as the Patriots.
Funny?
Oh. As good as the Dicks Patriots, 12-4, AFC title game 3 years in a row, literally could go in any direction because they need help at a lot of different spots.
And we didn't even talk about, you know, Browner or Revis being one-year guys.
One-year rentals, cornerback.
Boom, you're filling those voids.
Do you guys, from what we've watched so far, think that the safeties in this draft are getting maybe more attention because they're worthy of that attention or because of maybe deficiencies at some other positions? In other words, in a regular draft.
I don't think it's a great position. I mean, we've had years in recent history where you're talking about top five, top 10 type prospects. Landry and Thomas and the
like
Huff.
Eric Berry and
you know, going back a ways to
Berry,
Whitner,
Earl
Berry,
Thomas, Whitner, Huff.
There's nobody Griffin. In this draft of that elk.
Not
as I like
Ha-Ha
to
Dix.
Say. No, I wouldn't put Ha-Ha Dix there. Now, he had a little drop off in production. He claims it was because of the way he was used, a little bit more near the box, less plays, blah, blah, blah. But I don't personally believe there's any safety in this draft that is truly elite. Now, I've poo-pooed those guys over the years at times when I didn't think some of those guys were elite. Berry was a guy that I loved. I thought he was truly elite. Mm-hmm. Didn't love some of the other guys. I never loved Landry coming out of LSU. I didn't love Whitner. Whitner's a guy that has kind of been more in the NFL than I really thought he was going to be.
I liked Whitner. I didn't like Huff. Sean Taylor was another great one that I thought actually was kind of disappointing in the NFL before his life obviously was cut short.
Maybe he never got his shot.
Oh, for God's
sake. Now see, I thought today was supposed to be a day of reflection and inclusion.
I didn't make any marathon joke or anything.
No, but the guy did meet an unfortunate end at the opposite barrel of a gun.
That's true. That's true. You can't argue with that. That's exactly what
it's
happened.
True.
He met an unfortunate end.
The opposite barrel of the gun.
As opposed to the one facing him.
Yeah. All right, quickly, let's get a phone call in here from North Carolina again. Eldridge, what do you want today?
Yes! A receiver.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm fine. Looking at the marathon thing a little bit last night, but it was going through on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to take off this morning. Part about to the family, too. But I don't know how to deal with that either, that pressure that way. But I got a question for you, Andy.
Yes.
Some of the guys told us to me. If you was to go on the base of the assumptions right now between Denver and New England, who do you think going to the Super Bowl?
I would go Denver because I don't believe the Patriots have upgraded all that much from a year ago. They're better. Defensively, they are better. But offensively, I still have my concerns. And They did very little to slow down Peyton Manning last year. They haven't added to the pass rush. Now, I know theoretically, okay, the rush will be better because Revis is better, your corners are better, but that's still a team that has a lot of passing weapons. So I don't, you know, we've always talked about the AFC East teams trying to close the gap. The Dolphins a couple years ago closed the gap. I don't know if you closed the gap on the Broncos.
That was my assumption, too, but I still stick with my boys, but they shot me down like a hot balloon with a dart.
Now, the one thing I will say, if they can play that game, whenever that game comes in Foxborough, that's a big advantage right there. Boom. You might have wind. You might, because I still say Peyton Manning, it wasn't so, just about the Patriots wanting them to run the football. Peyton Manning couldn't throw the football in that condition in the wind here in November. If you get that in January, you got a chance to beat him because he can't go up and down the field.
To me, it comes down to Gronk, and I know that Andy believes this too. If Gronkowski is a reasonable facsimile of himself, the Patriots have a chance to beat anybody. And when he's not, their offense is very ordinary.
I'd say below ordinary.
Okay. Okay. What about the guys in the middle? The different position on our secondary. You know, because if Brown and Revis, to me, Brown and Revis should be the starting two. I don't care if Dennett is there. I think them two should be the starting two.
Well, I think everybody's going with the assumption that at some point those two will be your starters. Now, I keep always cautioning, remember, Brown
and again, it won't be until
four games.
Probably October, the earliest.
But in terms of the middle, you're going to have McCourty, and I have no idea who's going to play safety. Yeah. I'm hoping
it's somebody in the draft.
Week, he's not on this team, and it's a Pryor or a Buchanan or a Dixon or somebody that they bring in the draft. Now, the other options are obviously Daron Harmon could be your starter. You know, there was the talk of Logan Ryan maybe being in the mix there, but I'm hoping the starter's not on the team.
Anything else, Eldridge?
No, just about it, fella.
Okay. All right, truck on,
thanks,
brother.
We'll talk to you later. Lunch has arrived, so we're going to take a quick break. 508-298-0398. 855-PATS-500 is the in the U.S. Toll-free number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Continue the discussion. Line up on the phone lines and in our inbox. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're also going to talk to that special guest that we talked about earlier in the show. We'll be right back.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot.
Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Welcome back to PFW in progress, and as promised, joining us now, Patriots captain, Pro Bowl special teamer Matthew Slater. Matthew, how you doing?
Doing well. Good to be back in Foxborough. Getting ready to get back to work here.
Getting back to work, what have you been up to since the season? What did the off season consist of?
You know, I got to spend a little time with my family, get back home and spend some time with them. And then from there, it's just been about me getting my body right and preparing for another season. So you always enjoy the process of preparing for another season, and that's what we've been doing.
What is the process like when the season ends, when you go from playing to, they say everybody's beat up, obviously, after a long season? At what point do you start, you know, working out lightly, or how does that work as you prepare for the official off-season program?
Well, you know, it was tough this year with the season ending so abruptly, so I think those first couple weeks you're still trying to get over what had happened over the course of the season and put things in perspective, and then I think you take 2 or 3 weeks to let your body heal up, because like you said, all of us are pretty beat up at that point. And then from there, you slowly start to rehab and work your way back into shape and kind of progress into running and lifting and things like that. And then next thing you know, you're back into football.
Are you looking forward to, I know some teammates are starting to trickle in as we head towards, I think the 21st is or 22nd, the first day of the off-season program. You looking forward to getting everybody back in town and that camaraderie in the team and that whole process?
No question. I think one of the greatest things about what we do is the locker room and the environment in the locker room. Being around your teammates, going to work with those guys day in, day out is truly something special. So you definitely miss that when you're training on your own. So to be back around your guys, your team, definitely something to be excited about.
What is, you mentioned obviously going back to the West Coast and seeing family. How much is football a part of that? Because obviously your father, a Hall of Fame NFL player, you're a Pro Bowl NFL player, but you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, we don't really talk football when they get with family and things of that. What role does football play in your family still?
I think it's a little bit different in my house. We definitely talk about football quite a bit. My dad still coaches at a small Division II school in Southern California, Azusa Pacific. So we talk about his kids and his experience out there and just being able to, you know, share the experiences that I've had with my father and vice versa has been really special. And then I don't think my mom cares too much to talk about football. So, but you know, it's just always good to reconnect with your family. I truly believe they're a big reason that I am where I am today. So getting a chance to reconnect with them means a lot to me.
What kind of coach is your dad, both with his players and with you? I know I talked to Julian Edelman once and he said he calls his dad after every game and he could have had 15 catches for 150 yards and his dad points out the one drop or the one bad route. How is your dad in those terms?
I think my dad may be similar to Julian's dad. He's a he's my biggest critic and my biggest fan at the same time. And I think he's always pushed me to be better. He's always talked about what happened on the one bad play as opposed to maybe the 10 good ones. So I appreciate that about him. And he's a perfectionist as a coach. He was that way as a player. His preparation was very detailed and meticulous. And he expects a lot from his young players out there at Azusa. So it's kind of fun to hear him talk technique and talk about the experience he's had with those young fellows.
Now, obviously, you've gotten away, but I'm sure you've been keeping track sort of of the team in the off season, and a pretty exciting off season. Obviously, doesn't get much bigger than Darrell Revis coming to town. When you follow those things, how do you react when you say, wow, Darrell Revis, he's pretty good. We're getting him?
Oh, no question. I remember in years past having to prepare for him when he was in New York, and I know that everybody thinks really highly of his game. He's a tremendous player. He plays the game the right way, and you're excited about getting guys like that on your team and having an opportunity to play with guys like that. But all that being said, it all looks good on paper. We've got to go out there and put it together on the field. We've got to build chemistry. We've got to build camaraderie, and we've got to build a team.
I want to ask you about a term that we in talk radio throw around a lot. I don't think there's been a discussion about the Patriots in the last couple of years here, anywhere else, without the term Tom Brady's window. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, Brady, can he play three more years, four, whatever it may be. Have you ever heard a teammate, a coach, yourself, thought about that term, that Tom Brady has a window and we need to win before Brady leaves or anything like that?
No, I don't think that that's in the back of our mind as players. We understand we all have a window. a career in the NFL is something that's going to look now. So we're all on the clock.
Yep.
And everyone's goal around here is to have success and have the ultimate success. And Tom's number one as far as that being his goal. But, you know, we're not thinking about Tom's window. Tom is Benjamin Button. He's the ageless one. So, you know, we're just going to continue to grind and work that we need to put into that season to make ourselves contenders.
You mentioned on paper everything looks good. And on paper, you're a team that three straight years has been the AFC title game. You have a Super Bowl. So on paper, everybody just assumes, well, they're going to be in the AFC title game because that's what they've done the last 3 years. But it's not that easy, is it?
Not at all. The amount of work that goes into getting to that one game is unbelievable. I mean, you spend months, almost a calendar year, trying to get yourself in position to be in that game. And it's not a gimme. There are many good football teams, many good football coaches in this league, and it's very difficult. Now, we've been very fortunate around here to experience success, but we can't take that for granted. We can't assume that because we've been there in the past that we're going to be there moving forward, and we can't assume because we've added the great players that we have this offseason that it's just going to come together. We have to do our part, put in the work. You need some breaks along the way, obviously. Health plays a role in that as well. A lot of different things go into it. So we just have to take it one day at a time. We can't be thinking Super Bowl now. We've just got to be able to go out and execute plays come OTA time.
One of the guys that was part of the offseason who returned, I think, is a pretty good buddy of yours, Julian Edelman. And you guys obviously spent a lot of time together, special teams, wide receiver. What's that relationship like with you guys?
You know, Julian is one of my closest friends. You know, inside of football and outside of football, we've been able to spend a lot of time together. We've played together now 5 years, so we've really gotten to know each other. And you know, I wish him continued success because it's going to help our football team. So I'm excited for him, happy for the young man. He's worked so hard to get what he's gotten, and I really appreciate his friendship, no question.
How did you see him? From afar, it looked like he added confidence last year, and I guess that comes with staying healthy and producing, because we saw flashes of it over, you know, great punt returner, but he was sort of buried behind Welker, maybe never got, then he would get banged up. How did you see him handle his great 100 catches, 1,000 yards, that sort of culmination of everything he's worked for last year? It's interesting you bring up leadership, because we talked to Rob Ninkovich last week, and we spoke about leadership and the fact that this team certainly has a lot of leaders that like to lead by example, but do you feel like sometimes you have to have leaders that aren't afraid to be vocal and maybe, without a better word to use, aren't afraid to be kind of an a-hole and kick somebody in the butt and kind of, Does a team need that? And who are some of the guys maybe on this team that, that fill that role at times?
We need it from within the locker room, and we have guys that step up and do that. You know, we have great leaders on this football team, Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Logan Mankins, Rob Ninkovich, Devin McCourty, Tom Brady. The list goes on. We really have a solid locker room.
At this time of year, obviously everybody's thinking about the draft. And I wonder for a guy like you, let me ask you a question first of all. Do you consider yourself a special teamer? When I call you a Pro Bowl special teamer, is that offensive? Are you okay with that? How does that term sit with you?
I'm definitely okay with it. That's how I've been able to make my way in this league. Get one career catch. So I'm not going out there looking to catch 70 balls a season. I understand what my role is on this football team, and I've embraced that role and just continue to try to improve upon it each and every year.
So just getting back to your role as a special teamer, but also your role as a wide receiver and a deep threat at times, taking advantage of your speed. You had one of those chances in the AFC title game. What's your mentality when you get those? Are you hoping that that big play will get you more of those opportunities, or just trying to sort of fill a role for the team at that point?
Well, definitely. I've been a guy that, since I've been here, has tried to buy into, whatever they need of me, whatever they ask of me, I'm going to go out and do it to the best of my ability. And being a receiver is something that I've worked on ever since, I got here. And at times it's been being a safety. So I feel like, obviously I'm a special teamer. That's my primary role, but I like to, work on my craft as a receiver because I enjoy playing receiver. I enjoy playing football, and I enjoy the position of receiver. So that role is something that I enjoy just as much as playing special teams.
Was there ever a point where you weren't as comfortable with it? Because obviously now you're an established Pro Bowl special team. That's sort of what you're known for and your role within the team. Was there a point where you wanted more, or even coming into the league, as a player, was there a point where you weren't sure that would be your role, or how did you deal with it earlier in your career?
Well, I guess I knew pretty early on that the way for me to stick around this league was going to be covering kicks and blocking for returners. So I tried to buy into that early. But obviously as a competitor, you want to go out and do whatever you're asked to do at a high level, and whether that's playing receiver, playing safety, as I was saying. So I consider myself a competitor, and I'm going to go out and work to the best of my ability to do what I'm asked at a high level.
Do you impart that on younger guys? Because I know Bill has actually talked about in the past, some guys hurt themselves by not being comfortable with the role they're in. As you know, you've carved out a special teams career. Larry Izzo carved out a long special teams career, whereas some guys, I think, they're always aspiring to be more on offense or defense and sort of lose focus of, I can have a career on special teams. Do you impart that knowledge on some guys?
And I try to. I try to pull young guys aside, and you see a guy that may have the potential to fall into that role, and just share with him my experience. One thing that I learned when I got here was for you to have a good football team, you have to have guys that are going to be a star in their role. And that was something that Coach said early on, and it really stuck with me. I really could relate to what he was saying. So I try to share that with the young guys. Listen, we have a chance to do something special here. You have a chance to be a part of it. And it may not be in the role that you thought it would be, but it's a very important role. So getting the young guys to buy into that is key, and I think we have young guys that do buy into that.
This is obviously the anniversary of the Boston Marathon last year, the bombings at the finish line. And I know as a leader of this team and this community, you've been here now for quite a while. What does that mean to you a year later? And I know it's obviously there are a lot of memorials today and different things going on. What do you remember about that day and sort of that time frame in New England?
It was a very difficult time, a very sad time. And even now, almost a year later, thinking back on it, it's still a hard pill to swallow that something like that would happen at an event that's supposed to be a joyous time, a time of celebration. But the thing that sticks out most to me is the way the people of this region and this community rallied. They rallied around one another. They came together, and it really just shows the character of the people of New England. But as I said, it's still, you think back on the lives that were lost and the people that were severely injured, and it's still saddening. And I think it's so important that we don't forget what happened, that we don't forget the people that were affected by this, the families that were affected by this, and that we continue to keep them in our prayers, and we continue to support, obviously the people that run this year, but the people that run every year, because it's always going to be a significant event, an even more significant event because of what happened last year.
Do you think it changed the way you look at things? Because I actually ran last year. I'm running again this year. And maybe I was naive. These types of things had never really crept into my head. You know, we dealt with 9/11 and the security changes after that. But, I mean, do you still feel like, you know, when you go to a game, that's a game. That's a certain event. And I think as Americans, we've been lucky for the most part to be sort of cut off by from the reality that some of the other parts of the world deal with on a regular basis. Has it changed the way you look at anything in life?
Well, it definitely makes you take a step back and put things in perspective. And I think that every day we have on this earth is a gift, and we can't take it for granted. You expect to go, you know, about your day and come back home safely, and that doesn't happen a lot of times. And we live in a chaotic world where things like this happen. So I think, if anything, it made me be grateful for the safety that I have had up until this point in my life. I'm grateful for our servicemen and women and what they do to provide that safety for us. And I think it should teach all of us to not take things for granted, not take life for granted, enjoy life, live it to the fullest, and be thankful for the safety, the protection that we have as American citizens.
That leads me to my next question. Feel free to tell me to mind my own damn business. But faith is obviously a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard you discuss that at times. How big a part is it, and how much of a part is faith within the locker room in general?
Well, I think people would be surprised how many men of faith that we have on this team. It's not something that gets really talked about a lot, and we don't really want it to be talked about a lot. But I think faith is a big part of this team as a whole. You know, we were able to hire a chaplain this year, Jack Easterby, and I think he really did a great job of changing the culture of our locker room. And not just for faith, Christianity, or whatever, but just having men evaluate their lives and on and off the field, getting things in balance. And I think that's very important. And I know for me personally, it's been everything to me. I really feel like I wouldn't be where I am in my career, in my personal life, if it hadn't been for my faith in Christ. So it means a lot to me. It's something that I try to work at each and every day. I know I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes every day, but I feel very fortunate to have a relationship with Christ and be able to filter all my decisions and the things that happen in day-to-day life through my faith.
You mentioned hiring a chaplain, and mm-hmm. without getting into detail, was that in reaction to some things that obviously happened in recent past, and did you see that maybe take hold or change anything in the locker room with the guys?
Well, you know, I can't say that it was or wasn't a reaction to some of the things that happened last offseason, but I can certainly say that it was helpful. As a team, going through some of the things that we had to go through, you know, that has an effect on you. Regardless of how you try to spin it, it has an effect on you. So, you know, Jack was very helpful in helping a lot of guys through a lot of different issues, and I think it was definitely God sent at that time that he came, and our team definitely needed that.
No okay, question. Enough of the heavy stuff.
All right.
Let's get some light stuff. We like to have a little fun. What's a day in the life of Matthew? Give me something you like to do that we don't know about. You seem very serious. You have your faith and your football and your family. Those are all great, obviously. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, anybody wants those to be their top three, I think. What else you like to do? You're a video game guy? You're a food guy? What?
You know, I'm
burgers
a big
with Edelman?
Edelman has pulled me in on the burger runs, no question. You know, I'm a big movie guy.
Yep.
I love the cinema. I love going to movies. I love all genres of movie. And I am a food guy. I can't lie to you. My dad's an offensive lineman. So there's one thing I got from him. I got his appetite. I got his nice appreciation for food. So during my time here, I'll give a little gem. I'll drop a little gem for you guys. There's a place called Pastiche down in Providence.
Okay.
One of the best dessert spots around. So for those folks
Atwell
out there listening,
where
it's on the backside of Federal Hill there. So
okay,
it's on the back street.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a. It is off of Atwell's.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact street, but
there's a lot
Pastiche
of good restaurants in that area too.
Fine desserts
okay
down there. So people out there
during
go
the
down
season
there and
too, or do you have to?
You know, you gotta. I hope our nutritionist Ted Harper's not listening, but you gotta kind of work a few of those things in there every now and then.
And how about the burgers with Edelman? Which do you have a favorite that he's dragged you along to, or?
There have been so many good ones. Because
he takes it serious. I talked to him one day, and he has, like, you know, there's fast food burgers, then there's upscale burgers and pub burgers. He's got, like, different categories.
I mean, this guy's unbelievable with his burger. You know, how he ranks them.
Hey, it works, right?
How he qualifies them, grades them. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, he's taken me to a lot of good spots. I think one that I've really enjoyed is Harry's Burger Bar down in Providence.
Okay.
They have sliders. They serve sliders down there. Very good sliders.
I always have trouble with the sliders because sometimes they're small, so they overcook them, so they end up kind of being hockey pucks, and you want them to be juicy.
These guys, they know what they're doing down there at Harry's Burger Bar.
Yeah, it's almost time for you to stop eating all this stuff, right? The 21st.
I'm dreaming of this stuff. I'm going to be eating chicken breasts and vegetables here.
There's nothing wrong with those. A little broccoli's fine, right? You got to mix it. Everything in moderation. That's
exactly
the key.
Because exactly.
I heard lately kale's bad for you, so you can't go overboard with anything.
Uh-oh.
So, but Matthew Slater, I appreciate you stopping by and kind of telling us what you've been up to in this off season, and the work starts in a week or so, and it's back to football, right?
Yes, it is. Sounds good.
All right.
I appreciate you guys having me. Good to be back.
Thanks, Matthew. We'll be back soon after a quick commercial break on PFW in Progress.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card,
you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Well, I can assure you that your bag will be placed safely below deck with the other luggage.
Oh, yeah? How do you know my bag will be safe below with the other luggage? Huh? Are you physically going to take my bag and put it beneath the plane? Are you going to go right now outside with the guys with the earmuffs and go put it in there?
No.
No? Okay, then shut your pie hole and listen to me when I say that I am finished with the checking of the bags conversation.
Sir, we have a policy on this airline that a bag is this large.
Okay, you know what? Get your grubby little paws off of my bag, okay? It's not like I have a bomb in here. It's not like I want to blow up the plane.
Sir!
I just want to stow my bag according to your safety regulations.
Sir!
Hey,
sir!
If you would take a second and take a little sticks out of your head, clean out your ears, and maybe you would see that I'm a person who has feelings, and all I have to do is do what I want to do, and all I want to do is hold on to my bag and not listen to you. And that the only way that I would ever let go of my bag would be if you came over here right now and tried to pry it from my dead lifeless fingers, okay? If you can get it from my kung fu grip, then you can come and have it, okay? Otherwise, step off, bitch.
Wow. That was not Alden Smith, but it could very well have been.
Step off, bitch.
Now, what movie is that? Is that Meet the Parents or Meet the Fockers?
It's got to be one of the sequels,
Meet the
right?
Parents. Meet the Parents.
And what's in the bag? Does anybody know why he won't give up his bag?
Nothing's in it. It just won't fit into the overhead bin.
But why is he so attached to his bag?
Why was he so attached
because
to it?
On the way to his in-laws, his bag got lost, and all of his stuff got lost, and he had to wear his like new father-in-law's clothes, and it was just a mess.
Wow,
I'm gonna find the part, Andy, where
the
he goes.
Bomb.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff from Matthew Slater. I particularly liked the quote about Tom Brady being Benjamin Button.
Yes,
that was pretty funny.
That was even though I haven't seen the movie, but I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, and Spruce Street is where Pastiche is. He couldn't think of the side street off of Atwell's up on the hill, down Providence.
The hills.
Yeah, you might
want to
turn
your mic
on.
Sorry about that. The hills.
Now, how about where's the burger place?
I don't think I was paying attention at that point. So
idiot.
I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast, which you can do anywhere in the world. I might add.
Yes, anytime. Cell phone, iPad, computer.
That interview will also be posted independently. As well on the website.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Andy Hott going one-on-one with the great one.
Exclusive.
Later. Exclusive.
It was. Yes.
You may read quotes from him later in the week from other media sources. That's the only place you're going to get that hard-hitting interview that you just enjoyed here.
I believe that's available now, actually.
Oh, available
now. We also need to thank Pat in Agawam, Mass. For providing lunch today.
Pat on the old back.
Yes. And he emails in, "Good afternoon, guys. I had a few questions for you today, so let me get right into it. I'd like to know your opinion on Sidney Rice. I personally think we need a guy to upgrade over Kenbrell Tompkins. He's a nice player, but I think we need a playmaker on the other side of Dobson this season, especially early on if Gronk is not able to go. Do you think this guy can still play, and do you think he can be had on a one-year prove-it deal coming off his injury? And really, who else is out there in free agency with playmaking ability? Since the three of you guys do the brunt of research and coverage of the draft, I'd like to know your guys' opinion of defensive end Kareem Martin, UNC, excuse me. I think he could be a riser like Chandler Jones was a couple years ago. He certainly looks imposing and had a good senior year. He's on my draft wish list this year. Last but not least, it's too bad Freddie isn't in because I was going to recommend he give all of you a raise for what you guys do this time of year. Maybe I'm just a homer, but I prefer your guys' opinion and coverage of the draft and offseason over the idiots and talking heads of ESPN, WEEI, NFL Network, etc. So thank you for making the offseason not suck.
That's funny because I prefer our opinions to most of those people.
You do. You do very much so. And Pat, thanks for making our lunchtime.
Yes, thank you very much.
Agawam,
that's where Six Flags is, right?
In the Springfield, Agawam area. Yeah, right.
I'm intrigued by Sidney Rice just because of the potential. And I would assume you're not going to have to pay a ton to get him. I believe I read on Twitter just yesterday, Paul, that he was cleared physically.
Yeah.
So the expectation
one of
was?
One of our listeners, I think, tweeted that.
But I thought
us.
I saw something else, somebody, you know, of note. Not that our listeners aren't of note, because they are very noteworthy, but I thought I saw a reporter, and that might inject some life into his free agency and visits, and, you know, maybe he'd be available to go places and show people he's healthy, but.
That would be very intriguing.
Sure.
It would be.
Now, I'm not looking to invest. I'm looking to do the Patriot fan approach, and I'm looking to get him on a prove it.
Well, sure. Show me.
Right.
Show me contract.
And you know Eldridge would be happy.
You know,
he wants to win.
I like Sidney Rice a lot. And if he were healthy enough, and that's part of what I was talking about last week, it's telling me the fact that he's been available this long is telling me he's probably not.
Right.
You know, I know he's been cleared.
But he's cleared.
But my guess is that there's some, you know, some red flags there medically that have
yes.
prevented him from being signed. But I absolutely agree with Andy. I think he'd be better than at least three or four of the different options that you have right
oh,
now.
Sure.
Now, the problem is what we talked about with this wide receiver core is it's kind of a logjam. You might not like all the different individual members of this wide receiver core, but for the most part, they're not really going anywhere. So I just wonder how you're going to fit them all in or if you're going to bite the bullet. Now, Sidney Rice in particular, Andy's right. Low money, low risk. Show me kind of prove it deal is not going to prevent you from signing him
right.
because you can have him come in and then you can get rid of somebody if he comes in and says, hey, we got something here. We hit. He looks good. He's running well and he's picking up the offense. Bang. All of a sudden you get rid of, a couple of the guys that you thought right now were untouchable.
Or he's on PUP or Dobson's on PUP.
Right.
And let's be honest. You know, your two white slot receivers, either one of them could be hurt at any point. So a guy coming off PUP might slide into a role that one of those mm-hmm. guys is vacating. You know, there are bodies, but there are questions up and down the wide receiver depth chart.
Just can I completely change
go right
the topic
ahead.
For a quick second? Darren Revelle is one of our favorite follows on Twitter.
Sure.
Because he
mixes food with sport and humor.
Well, all kinds of different stuff. He has his... according to CareerCast, at CareerCast has the worst jobs of 2014.
PFW, right.
What would you consider us? What would you consider
producer.
Us?
And as a journalist, like journalism or?
You know, if you had to tell someone what you do for a living, you would say a newspaper reporter, journalist.
Journalist, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
And what else? What are we doing right now?
Talk radio.
Broadcaster of some sort?
Yeah.
Well, checking in at number 196 on the bottom 200 is broadcaster. And at 199 is newspaper reporter.
But is 199 good or bad?
Bad. Worst.
Oh, so one would be good or one would be bad?
Yes.
One would be good. So 200 is bad.
200.
Yeah, we're really close to 200.
200 is lumberjack.
Huh.
He has the bottom.
Good thing I got rid of that beard and the plaid shirt.
Yeah, I know.
The bottom handful here, number 192, firefighter. Number 193, garbage collector. 194 is flight attendant.
What?
195, head cook. 196, broadcaster. 197, taxi driver.
Wait, what's wrong with these jobs?
198, enlisted military personnel. 199, newspaper reporter. And 200, lumberjack. And they have the, what I assume would be an average salary for all of those listed. And broadcaster is the highest one out of these bottom
four. Yeah, but that's because they sway it.
55,000. Newspaper reporter, 37,000. I don't know where they're working.
You think somewhere there's a guy who writes like the Lumberjack newsletter that's like, son of a! And he's a volunteer fireman.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just thought that was kind of funny.
Wow. Well, I think we have our own Lumberjack on the line. Matt in Oregon, or at least you're close. You might know some people who are Lumberjacks, Matt?
I have known some, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. See? Do they have such a bad life?
Well, it's very dangerous. That's
right.
Part
they,
of why,
they didn't know, have a bad life, but they had one leg.
Mm. Right, and you're lugging, a heavy saw around in the woods.
Right.
They
call him Pogo.
Do you watch the Axemen show on History?
I've seen that.
So there you go. That's young men's work, right there.
Okay. Well, you're not exactly an old fogey.
No, but I'm talking like 20-year-old.
All right. So what's on your mind today?
Well, two quick things. First of all, I want to say thank you to Andy for donating to my fundraising.
No problem.
That was huge. Also, the PFW Elite have come up big, so shout out to those guys.
Nice.
I wanted to wish Andy good luck on Monday.
Same to you, and I was serious. Hopefully we'll cross paths at some point.
Yeah, are you in Wave 4?
I am in Wave 4, Corral 1.
Oh, all right, I'm in Corral 2, so I'll be right behind you.
at least in the beginning, maybe you'll pass me.
Yeah,
I'm sure you will.
Probably not.
What are you shooting for?
Like 4.5.
Yeah, me too. Ish.
Depending on those hills. You got me worried about those hills, though.
The hills are a little bit of a kick in the nuts. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Are you lowering the bar? I thought you were looking for better than that.
I am looking for better. My estimated finish last year was 417. I would be very happy if I could get in the four single digits, 4.0 something.
Paul would just be happy if you finish.
I might host a party.
The way I look at it is I'm not setting any records, so... You know, if I'm going to run every step, but if I need to stop to pee, I'm going to stop and pee. If I need to, you know, stop and stretch something out, I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I try not to stop. I have this big belief if I stop, I won't start again.
It is hard to get going again, but, you know, I mean, I'm not going to pee myself for a 4.5 hour run, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So what if you have to poop? You going to stop and poop, too?
Absolutely. I probably will.
Yeah.
You know,
luckily, I didn't have to cross either of those bridges. I felt good in that area, which is rare for me.
Really? You did the whole thing without even peeing?
No peeing, no pooping.
Wow, that's impressive.
I may have been dehydrated. Maybe that's why I wasn't peeing.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Good luck next week.
Thank you. You too. I'll keep an eye out.
Again, everybody.
Good luck.
Yeah, we'll definitely. I'll definitely look.
Who are you running on behalf of?
The Martin Richard Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Martin Richard is the little boy who was killed last year.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, I actually have a Patriots thing too. I had the good fortune to have really good seats at the Saints game last year, which was amazing. I mean, I've never hugged so many complete strangers in my life, but it became very evident to me, and I've always agreed with Andy that the whole steroid issue, like, I want them as big and fast and strong as possible, but I think it's reached the point where it's hurting the game. I think these guys are too big and too fast for their own good.
For their own bodies, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, but for their own being able to play the game, you know?
They're hurting themselves and obviously hurting others because they're so big.
Right.
So I understand what your thought process is there.
You know, that whole last season, we're losing so many guys to injury, and I'm wondering, and a lot of times it's happening on normal plays, but because these guys have, you know, are so much bigger than a human body is supposed to be, you know, they become plays that can injure. And I think Gronk is a perfect example. He's, you know, his style of play is, he's so big and so lumbering, and every time he has any sort of a collision, it's such a violent collision that, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I think we're going to be lucky to get 8 games a season out of him the rest of his career, you know, just as a result of his play.
Be careful. Fred will yell at you. I said that a few years ago, and Fred yelled. But the one thing I will say is I think what you're talking about is why a lot of teams have gotten more into Pilates and yoga and are trying to work to improve flexibility in some of those things. Yeah, and
sure.
Not just be big freak show, muscle-bound athletes, but, it's hard. And
you can only take that so far. You know, yoga's only going to overcome so much, you know, drug use.
Right.
You know? Which is actually, you'd never get him to say it, but that's, I wonder if Matthew Slater is a guy who, you know, he's never taken that jump to become... You know, to move from special teams, and I wonder, you know, he's such a morally led guy. I wonder if it has something to do with maybe he's not willing to do steroids, or, you know, I mean, you'd never get anybody to admit to that. But
right, wonder, and that, you know? and I try to be consistent where I just assume they're all taking steroids to be fair to everyone. That way, I don't have to make moral decisions on who I think is a good guy, bad guy, steroid user. So I have to be consistent there.
Also, if you had the chance to play in the NFL and it meant taking steroids to do it, wouldn't you do it?
Heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
Absolutely, you know.
Yep. So
you can't blame them.
Right. But I do think it's interesting, and we all know that the NFL drug policy is...
A joke.
Yeah, more of a... it's a public image tool more so than anything else, I think.
Right.
And
they try to, you know, they're making all these rules and trying to legislate out plays that cause injury when they're not really addressing the problem.
Well, that's why I wonder if at some point there is sort of a trend and people say, wow, every year by the time we get to January, all the good players are hurt.
Yeah.
If they would ever say, you know what, maybe steroids is an issue. Maybe we do need to clean up the game and crack down. And maybe that would benefit long term more so. Maybe we have peaked. We're too big, too fast, and we need to get back to keeping our athletes on the field. I don't know if that's realistic, if it's plausible, if we would ever get there. But,
well, you know, it's that arms race. You know, it's never, you know. If someone has the chance to do something to make themselves better, they're going to do it.
Right, especially when they assume everyone else is doing it.
Right.
Now, if you can guarantee that no one's doing it, okay, now maybe you have a level playing field again.
And that's really the only way it would happen. The NFL would have to, you know, legitimately crack down.
Right. And I still, you still would have a percentage, what, I don't know, what, 10%, 20%, sure, who would say, I have to. I'm going to. If I get kicked out, I get kicked out, but right, I'm never going, right, to get in if I don't do it, so I'd rather get, well, in and then get kicked, yeah, out than never get in.
Well, and the tests are always a step behind, too.
Oh, yeah. So, yep.
It's, you know, it's unfortunate, but I think it has reached that point where it's, you know, they're too big and too fast for their own good. And you wonder, if everybody was on that natural playing field, would the game still be as exciting because everybody's on,
well,
the level playing field?
I would say yes.
I think it would.
I mean, still, people have liked the NFL for a long time.
Plus, it's still a good game to watch. The game of football is,
correct,
still an exciting game,
yeah,
to watch.
And you're still going to have hard hits. You'll just have smaller, absolutely, less violent hard hits.
Right.
There will still be hits where player A,
sure,
knocks out player B.
Sure. I mean, sure. Matt, have you ever had a bunch of friends go play, you know, flag football or touch football?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's, well, it's still exciting. Even though, well, you guys aren't NFL, you know, quality players, you're still excited when you're playing.
Or just Google, like, big Pop Warner hits or something.
Sure.
Those kids weigh 55 pounds or whatever. There's big hits,
sure,
in those games.
Sure, but
they're,
I mean,
muscle bound athletes.
I don't even necessarily think that big hits have to make the game exciting. You can,
oh,
have,
like,
an exciting game without having somebody get taken out on a stretcher.
Yeah, I like big,
right,
hits.
Right. And, well, I like big hits too, but you know, big hits are just as exciting when a guy gets hit in the waist and not.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh,
can be even more so exciting.
Absolutely. Because it's like stopped dead in their tracks. And,
yep.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. You know, you hear these defenders say, you know, it's out of their hands. And yes, I agree, you know, quarterback is the hardest position in the world in any sport to play, probably. But, you know, you look at, like, you know, they're saying, well, we're so worried about hitting in the head that we have to aim so low that we're going to take out all these knees. Well, you know, especially on a guy like Gronk, the area between his shoulder pads and his thigh pads is like 4.5 feet. You
right.
Know? Like, I don't care.
It's actually the easiest place to hit.
I'll give you a perfect example. When he made the Hall of Fame a few years ago, our friend upstairs, Andre Tippett,
uh-huh,
the highlight reels that they showed of his career, one of the ones we saw over and over again, one of the best ones, at Chicago in the 85 season, running back coming to the left side of the offense, tip comes rushing in, form tackles
picks
the guy,
up,
but picks him right up on his shoulder, and one-handed,
yeah,
throws him to the ground. That was a perfect,
yeah,
form tackle, great,
yeah,
huge hit, and it was legal.
Yep.
Absolutely.
There was nothing wrong with that hit.
Yeah. We used to have a guy on our team that we used to call Snot Bubble when I was playing rugby. Yeah. Yeah, you know, he would hit you right in the gut and cause snot bubbles to come out of your nose. You know?
Yep, that's what we need to get back to. I'm with you, Matt.
Yep.
I agree.
Well, good luck running on Monday.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. Shout out to everybody who stepped up. It's, you know, I've managed to raise a good amount of money, and I'm excited.
And what's your Twitter handle?
It's at Pokey Rugby. But I don't really do the Twitter much.
No, I was just, if people wanted to contribute, is that, sure, the easiest way they could get to you?
Or through Facebook, or, you know, even if you go on firstgiving.com and just search my name, Matt Cox,
right,
on the first page that pops up.
Google for Cox on FirstGiving.
COX.
There you go.
Always on Andy's mind. Well, good luck, Matt, seriously.
Careful doing that at work, I suppose.
Yes.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Give
go
us
to
a,
Fred's office.
Give us a call next week and let us know how the experience was.
We'll do.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
You know how you Google for Cox in Fred's office? Control V. It's
no.
automatically, it's always saved.
You're a Cox subscriber. You're a Cox subscriber.
All right. Well, another quick phone call before
Cox
we go back to the emails.
Island.
Marcus in Miami, what's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, Marcus.
I have a question. I know we were talking about, Eldridge was talking about the Denver Broncos and, you know, who we would pick to go in the Super Bowl. Obviously, you know, fans are always going to put the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I honestly think, you know, I don't know if the Broncos, obviously they'll make it to the playoffs, but don't they play the AFC West next year?
Yes, the NFC West, you're saying?
The NFC, NFC,
yeah.
My bad. So,
yeah, I believe that's accurate, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, looking at us, if they play us, I mean, I think, honestly, you know, we have a chance to win that game against them, so, you know, that could be an L for them. But the AFC, I mean, NFC West, that's not an easy task. I mean, you got...
Nope.
Obviously, there'll be two games away from them, two games from home. Let's just say they get the Rams at home, and let's say they get the Cardinals at home. Arizona is stepping up. Their defense is getting better. But obviously, no, San Francisco and Seattle can beat you anywhere. So that's two. I mean, that could be two, three L's at the most. I honestly think that, you know, if the gap is anything, just because Peyton Manning has all those weapons, then how many weapons does he really have? He has Arm Walker. You know, he has a lot, but, I mean, what's their running back situation now? Monte Ball. Run 4,000 yards?
Yep.
You don't run 4,000 yards next year?
Yep.
You think so?
Yep. I do. I think anybody would run for 1,000 yards.
It's like
that
Verizon commercial. Yep.
If they let one guy get the bulk of the carries, now if they split it up or whatever and, you know, one guy gets 75 carries, another guy gets 100, then maybe no one will run for 1,000 yards. If they let somebody carry the ball enough to average 4.5 yards a carry, he'll get 1,000 yards. That's how I think of that offense. I don't think Knowshon Moreno had this great year last year because he had 1,600 combined yards. Rushing and receiving.
Right.
I think he's a solid player. I like Knowshon Moreno. I think Monte Ball can, I think he's a better runner in terms of a running back. I think he's a better runner, probably not as good a receiver as Moreno, but I think you might find that there's not much of a drop off there. Now, you lost some of your depth there. So if something were to happen to Ball, now you're relying on somebody else, whereas last year something happened to Moreno, and he was banged up periodically during the course of the season. You had to rely on – you had Ball to fall back on, a high draft pick that you could plug in and go. But I feel like with Demaryius Thomas, with Welker, with Julius Thomas, with Emmanuel Sanders
– No, Sanders sucks now because he didn't come here.
No, that's true. I feel like there's a lot of weapons there. I think, you know, they lost a guard in Zane Beatles that everybody seems to be – upset about. To me, interior linemen are replaceable. Mm. I don't think that's a spot that is worthy of worrying about. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just missing some of the losses. I feel like that they did a good job of replacing and upgrading. I think T.J. Ward is an upgrade for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we talk about maybe they don't have the depth at running back. Well, I think they have more depth in the secondary because they have a starter who came in is better than the players that were playing last year.
Right.
If Chris Harris comes back from his ACL, much like we talk about Gronk, I think their secondary is better with Tlaib, Harris over Rogers Cromartie and Champ Bailey.
And if anyone holds out hope for the Patriots re-signing Brandon Lloyd, forget about it. He's a 49er again.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Signed?
Yeah, he's signed with the 49ers.
Who's
there? But I was that was
he'll
that
be,
was a joke.
He'll
but
be
he did sign
September,
with the 49ers.
My guess is.
And when Lloyd and Alden Smith are going against each other. If there was like a crackback block, it would be two flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Anything else, Marcus?
No, one last thing. Looking at our defense, obviously, you know, and I was kind of tied to the whole Denver thing into the Super Bowl. They got dismantled. Obviously, you know, I don't remember the last time a Patriots team got beat by, what was that, 35 points or something like that. I don't honestly think that ever happened. I mean, I think they Seattle's defense, what are we trying to do to get our defense? Are we trying to be top 10 defense, or what are we trying to do next year? Like, what is obviously Seattle has the number one defense. San Francisco is probably right behind them.
Marcus, we're just trying to win games. We're just trying to do what's best for the football team. You know, we're just trying to score more points.
They're
trying
than the
to other
get team. Better. I mean, I think they have. I think they have gotten
that's
well.
That's the Bill answer to your question.
I would say cover and pressure, and you've theoretically improved your coverage. Yep. I don't know that you've done anything for your pressure, other than improve your coverage.
Which helps a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus. Thanks for the call, bud.
Yeah. Listen, the Broncos are going to play. He's right. They do play the NFC West.
Oh, now you're aligned with him?
No, I said. I said that they played the NFC.
Yes.
Well, I think Monte. Worry about running backs? Is this just my running back thing? Just me?
No.
Because you know how I feel about running backs. Do you guys disagree? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I'll argue.
No, I don't have anything to
argue. I'm in the mood. We got a half hour left or so.
No, we got about,
are you in the mood or
a 15 minutes left.
15 minutes
this
left.
Is a good time.
We usually save our stupid arguments for the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Yes.
So if we want to argue about the fact that running backs are important, a running back's important today?
Impotent?
Because I can make that argument that they're not.
Impotent or important? Who's in
plane full of people saying you threatened that stewardess?
I was not threatening her. I was just trying to get my bag into the overhead storage thing.
You were acting like a maniac, and you threatened her with a bomb.
No, I said I didn't have a bomb.
You said bomb.
I said it's not like I have a bomb.
You said bomb on an airplane.
What's wrong with saying bomb on an airplane?
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
Bomb, 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 bomb. You gonna arrest me?
You assaulted an airline employee.
What if I was in the military and I was a bombardier? Bomb, 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 bomb,
put you away for a few years.
Norm.
The things that get him going.
It's seriously.
Funny. Bomb, bomb, bomb. And it also...
I could see him doing that, too, on an airplane.
Having said...
Andy.
It's got a little Seinfeld
Andy
to
Hart.
It.
Yes, write it down. Right. Andy Hart.
But that's got a little Seinfeld to it, too. The tone sounds like a Seinfeld. When he says,
from
like...
the guy who doesn't watch Seinfeld.
Yes. I've seen enough.
Oh, yes.
Obviously not.
You tell me that wasn't funny.
It was funny.
That was funny.
That was funny because of you.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
You can take the reservation.
I'm going to have to see the movie now.
You just can't hold the reservation.
Junior from Dorchester thinks he might have a possible solution to the pass rush. He says
solution.
Yes,
he says it.
I saw a report that BYU defensive end Kyle Van Noy had a workout for the Patriots recently. From watching his tape, seems like a more instinctive, less athletic version of Jamie Collins in that he excels in rushing the passer as well as coverage. My question to you is, would you consider drafting him in the second or third?
Yes.
I know linebacker's not the biggest need, but having Van Noy out there might allow for more multiple sets and free up Collins to rush the passer more. I think having a couple versatile OLBs flying all over the field would make our defense less predictable and a lot more potent, not impotent. Thanks, guys.
Because it's impotent to not be impotent.
That's right.
Sure.
I would consider him.
Kyle
I would also consider Riley. I believe it's Travis, the kid out of, I believe, Utah. I said I was watching tape, and kind of has a Ninkovich feel to him. Just a playmaker, a lot of forced fumbles, tweener, defensive end, outside linebacker. You know, one of the times he drops into coverage, he makes a really nice athletic interception, kind of like I think it was at Miami where Gronk did it. I mean, Ninkovich did it a few years ago above his head. You know, I think he can make those types of plays, and I don't think you'd be going wrong to add a potential playmaker at linebacker to this group of three starters and then nada. You need a Van Noy, so you don't
Nada?
Have Nada.
I agree.
Oh, I would take Nada.
Yeah?
There's a definite need in the mid-rounds for a linebacker, I think.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get a guy that can maybe help with the pass rush a little bit, maybe give you some versatility into schematically what you do with Collins. You know, I've seen people even want to give Hightower some chances at defensive end, which is what Nick Saban tried to sell us on. Or even, obviously, Ninkovich can play end and linebacker. Why not add another versatile chess piece to Bill Belichick's game board?
The Jamie Collins name reminds me of our Samsonite Make Your Case from last week. We were talking, Paul and I argued about who would be your choice for the how did we word it exactly? The
biggest year two jump.
Who's going to have the biggest year two jump?
And people were not happy with you guys because you left somebody out.
Well,
we just picked two different guys.
No.
A lot of guys
on the poll? Yeah. On the poll, you mean?
Well, we left a lot of guys out.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a lot of guys that have a.
I read, like, the first five comments were all about somebody you left off.
Somebody,
I forgot who it was. Maybe Tompkins?
Obvious?
Might have been Tompkins you left off.
I don't think Tompkins is going to be on the team, so I didn't leave him off.
Apparently, people don't get a chance to voice their opinion. It's Paul's opinion on nobody's!
I mean, I pick guys that I believe are going to be part of the 2014 team.
Yeah, but it's hard to not give him as an option when in last September people thought he was the number one receiver.
You tell me who he should be over.
I don't know who was on it.
Dobson?
No.
Collins?
No.
Boyce?
I think you could argue should be over Boyce. Boyce did nothing last year.
I don't think you could argue that, but that's okay.
Boyce would have to be active to first have a year two impact.
Who else do we have?
Not a lot.
Oh, Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon.
Yeah.
I think you could argue any of those last three, Tompkins should be in the same running.
Okay.
Maybe earlier.
I don't think you could make an
argument.
Maybe
earlier in the year you could have made that argument. But
well, I just think based on his off
but I'm making the argument on April 10th.
Right. No, I know.
Not last year, week 8.
But, I mean, Boyce did nothing.
Understood.
Less than nothing.
Understood.
But whether Tompkins did it early, late, or anywhere in between,
he
did something.
He did, but he did it early and then tailed off, whereas Boyce was injured, was coming back, and sort of went up.
I might be guilty of saying that I know Tompkins can't play, and I don't know Boyce can't play because he didn't play.
I think Tompkins
be guilty of that.
I was, you know, early on, people were telling me how good he was, and I never saw it. In Atlanta, big game. Well, if it bounces off a safety and then he lets him catch it, okay, good game. But I never saw the Tompkins love fest. And I don't probably think he's going to be on the team, but
certainly could have replaced Boyce with Tompkins. I can't possibly, in good conscience, replace Tompkins with any of those other guys.
Yeah, see, I could. I'm not sold on either of the two defensive backs. I'm just like, they're guys.
We'll see. Alex in Philly.
Tompkins isn't even a guy.
He isn't?
No.
That's why you don't like him, because he's not a Boyce.
Boyce.
Right. He just said he's
not a guy.
That's true.
I said I could make an argument for him replacing Boyce.
All right.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with the argument, but I could make one. Because I, as you know,
you can make an argument on anything. Yes, you can. You absolutely can.
You are kind of annoying in that way. At the Boston Memorial,
yes.
the Vice President Biden just spoke,
mm-hmm.
and I was just envisioning a discussion between him and Mayor Menino and what could go wrong there. You know, Menino will call him, like, Bidden, and then yeah. Biden will say, you know, to one of the amputees, why don't you stand up and salute the audience or something?
Oh, God.
I mean, you get two of the bigger clowns. You got two total morons.
Menino's going to do a great job. He sets in for a bonkers gong shirt.
Did you hear last week he was at some junior college or
talking about banging his wife or whatever,
or sleeping with a hot professor? And he goes, not just the same one.
Yeah,
not
all different ones.
I mean, my wife.
There's a lot of hat in this team. Let me just tell you.
What a hat. Andy Hat. Hat Break Hill.
Alex in Philly, I want to throw some names of potential under-the-radar sleepers in the draft. Banana Peel?
Watkins?
Paul? Tell me if you think they are worth taking.
Khalil
okay?
Mack.
Ready? We got a handful here. Corey Latimer, wide receiver, Indiana.
Everybody loves him. Why does everybody love him?
Because the Patriots were tied to him.
Why does everybody love? I mean, we've been hearing more about him than I feel.
Are
like
they confusing
should.
Him with Lattimore?
No tape there, Andy.
Oh, no tape there. So how am I going to look him up? Just not going. I'm just going to keep.
Don't know a lot about him. No? I do know that the Patriots supposedly had interest or had worked him out or something.
Jeremiah Ataochu, defensive end from Georgia Tech.
Andy. I don't know anything about him.
I thought you were watching the defensive ends this week.
I haven't done that yet. As a matter of fact, there's a good chance I won't.
Okay, 0-2. Terrence Brooks, safety.
This is why people respect our opinion more than
because at least we say when we don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
But that's true. I could give you two sentences and make stuff up. I don't
Who
know
you got?
Anything
Who's
about
third?
Him.
Terrence Brooks, safety, Florida State.
Eh.
You watch safeties, Andy.
I'm going to look you up right now. Not much tape. former cornerback. He played some in a linebacker role for them. He's pretty quick and athletic, physical for his size, but 5'11", 198 is certainly not one of the bigger safeties in the draft. But 4'4", 40 time he ran at the combine is impressive and is sort of, you know, certainly has the ability to just be a safety.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, the role he played in college lends you towards some strong safety, but his build and his background lends you towards some free safety.
Free safety, yeah.
You know, NFL draft scout has him as a second or a third round pick.
Okay.
Given the Patriots' need and given his skill set, I wouldn't rule it out, but those of you who are looking for a pure Rodney Harrison strong safety thumper,
this
he is
not
your man.
Okay. Two more. Marcus Smith, defensive end, Louisville.
Louisville. Marcus Paul, you're watching Smith. The defensive ends.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you.
Okay. Depends how many defensive ends this guy brings up.
And corners? Anybody? Anybody for a cornerback?
I did see corners.
Okay. Stanley Jean-Baptiste from Nebraska.
I don't have my sheets, but.
You are not worth your sheets. You are full of sheets.
And we also did not, I don't believe, right?
I don't know. I haven't watched corners yet. A lot going on.
He's got decent size. I'll say that. I don't know a lot about him. No, I haven't seen much on.
I don't have my sheets.
I don't have my sheets with me.
Okay,
we're a debacle and an embarrassment to this organization.
You know what's
funny? I apologize.
What I did like was I did like a lot of different cornerbacks.
You did.
I'll say that there was some intriguing guys there
In
different rounds. There was a big guy from Utah.
Intriguing guys or intriguing boys?
Big guy from Utah I don't know if it was just because of the size in the school reminded me of Sean Smith.
Mm.
Simone?
I don't think so.
They don't usually play cornerback.
No, I
know. Wow.
I don't think that's okay.
That was a broad
Jimmy
brush.
The Greek over here.
You don't usually see Samoan names. You don't usually see Samoan names at the cornerback position.
Now, I wasn't allowed last year to say I like Star Lotulele because I liked big Samoans, but he can say
You couldn't say that.
I don't know, everybody. Matt Smith, everybody. But he can say they, quote-unquote, don't play cornerback.
Keith McGill was the guy
Keith
I
McGill.
Was thinking of.
That doesn't sound like a Samoan name
6'3", 214, good size, long arms. I liked him as a mid-round kind of guy.
So he doesn't sound like a Samoan. He can play corner, according to Eric.
Yeah. The guys at the top, I don't think there's a great corner. You know, there's not like a Patrick Peterson or one of those guys, but there was like Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State I really liked. Jason Verrett, less so, but I think he can play from TCU. Some good talent at the cornerback position, I thought.
All right. Back to the phones quickly. Reese, Oklahoma City, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I just had a question in regards to the offensive side of the ball.
Sure.
Do you think it is a good plan to go back to, like, you know, kind of the Aaron Hernandez, Gronkowski days where they really opened up the offense for the wide receivers? And, like, should we go to, like, try to trade up to an Eric Ebron?
I do not like that idea. I think Ebron is one of the most overrated prospects in this draft. I think he is a tease. I think he is an athlete more than a football player. And I have my doubts as to whether he's going to be an elite NFL playmaker with any consistency. And you're right. If you know, if you're looking to have an offense that in any way harkens back to that Hernandez and Gronkowski days, you certainly need to add to the position, because if Gronkowski's not out there, we know Hernandez isn't, because I believe he's gotten in trouble again behind bars for another incident.
Supposedly, yeah.
Was that wrong?
So, you know, those of you that were holding out hope in some way that he might ever return, it ain't happening. So,
if, and there's a chance.
Wait. There's people that were still holding out hope for him to return. He was framed.
But yeah.
Seven times.
I think it's more likely, you know, given the abundance of receivers, regardless of how skilled they are, that you might see more receivers on the field, and that is more the offense.
Yeah, and I understand what they did with the tight ends, and I don't know how much it opened. Those two guys were very productive. I think people just think, well, you just get two tight ends, and you can do these things.
Right.
Well, no, like, Gronkowski and Hernandez.
Omanau Anuwi and Mulligan.
Right. It's not the same. I mean, it was very productive with those tight ends. I think last year your problem was you were into the middle of June still thinking you had that offense.
Right.
So it was kind of hard to just sit there and say, well, we don't have Hernandez.
And then bang, you didn't have
it. We can't do that. You know, we can't have that kind of offense anymore. That's why I thought they would stick with some of the tight end based stuff that they did last year. And I think that hurt them. This year, you know, you're not going to have Hernandez. You know that Gronkowski enters the season a little bit compromised. So you make arrangements to go in a different direction. Andy's probably right. They probably go back to where they used to do things, say, in 2007 with 3 and 4 receiver sets. Now, I don't like the options. I think
the problem is you don't have Moss and Welker.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of guys that are, you know, good, solid second and third options. I don't think they have a first option.
It's more like Gabriel Caldwell Gaffney.
Right. It's more like 06 than 07.
Danny Amendola.
Say again?
This next season, do you think Amendola will be productive?
If he can stay healthy.
I think he'll do what he did last year.
I mean, last year was essentially his career average type year, if anything, a little bit more productive in yards per catch. So at this point in his career, do you expect him to have an outright aberration massive year? I don't know how you predict that.
That makes me sad, because he's a good player, you know? Like, he's a solid dude.
Yes.
He always gets hurt somehow.
And I think he'd be a solid dude on the 07 offense.
I think that he's fine. Like I said, second, third option. I know everybody likes to think, what could this guy do if he were healthy? Mm. And I look at the skill set, and I'm not sure that you're going to get this, you know, unbelievable production if he's healthy.
Let me ask you, I'll ask the caller. What's the caller's name?
Reese!
To Mike.
List the offensive passing game options in order right now. Go.
Oh, man, okay. So I would probably have to say, if Gronk's healthy, Gronk first.
Okay, let's pretend Gronk's not healthy.
All right, then we have problems.
That's right.
So instead of labeling a 1 and a 2, do you want to just start at 3 since we don't have a 1 and a 2?
I think a legit 1 for the Patriots offense, it has to be Edelman, obviously, because of 100 yards catching, or the 100 receiving.
Catches, yes. 100 receptions, 1,000 yards.
And then, you know, 2... Apparently Aaron Dobson will have a better year than last year. I really can't see that, but.
Wow. Down on Dobson, then you're even more down on the passing game weapons than I am.
And then I am too, because I think Dobson has a chance to, that's why I picked Dobson for the year two guy.
Assuming he's not trying to play in a walking boot or something.
Look, I'm hoping the best for Dobson. I really am. It's just like some of those balls he just dropped, dude. I mean,
you can say damn.
Yeah, you can say damn.
I mean, you just said balls.
Well, he's talking about the instrument that they play with on the field, Andy.
Speaking of
they're playing with their balls?
Yes.
You're going to get Andy all excited. You're talking about balls and instruments.
You got my point. They don't have a very good 1-5, no matter. I mean,
that's
Shane Vereen, you pencil
a lot of
in
second,
somewhere
third
there.
Options.
Thanks. Shane Vereen.
Yep. I mean, it's just, it's not very enticing. And for that reason,
I'm out.
I'm not out, but I have my concerns about the Denver Broncos. You know, everybody, we
Thanks
had the questions call, earlier. Are they better than the Broncos? And Marcus said, you know, to me, you haven't done anything offensively to show me you could score with the Broncos.
We have time to squeeze in one last caller. It's Adair from Phoenix. Am I pronouncing that properly?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Adair? A female Dare?
Ah.
No, what? It's actually Eder, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Eder?
Eder?
Oh, so I wasn't pronouncing it properly.
What,
not even close.
What ethnicity is that? I want to make sure Eric thinks you can play corner.
Well, what you didn't know is your name should be pronounced.
I'd like to point out that you made two shooting death jokes on this show.
Yeah, but those aren't racist or stereotypical.
No, but you don't make jokes about
you
people getting shot.
You said Samoans can't play corner.
No, I didn't say that. I said you don't normally see that.
No, you said they
don't normally play quarterback.
Don't usually play corner. That's what he said.
You can't say they.
Why?
You can say they.
It's a generalization. The man in this room who's actually observing from the far corner once said I couldn't say I liked Star Lotulele because I like big Samoan defensive tackles.
You can say that because you can say whatever you want.
No, but, well, not but really. The part that was offensive
for,
was not
bomb,
the
bomb, 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 bomb on a plane.
All right, sorry.
Leave it to sorry. Andy fixates on the they rather than the stereotype of can't play a certain position.
I didn't say can't. I said don't.
Eder, what
is the difference?
Eder?
There's a big difference, but that's nor here nor there. I'm calling in regarding to Ryan Mallett. So I know that according to an article written by Mike Reese yesterday, we should be expecting for him not to be on the roster next year. I mean, given his contract, you know, and his situation. So should we be going into this draft looking for a quarterback, I would say, in the middle round?
Wait, when you say next year, do you mean this year?
This coming year.
Mike Reese said that Ryan Mallett will not be on the roster this year?
That we should expect him not to be, on the roster, I guess.
In 2014, so in September, he won't be on the roster? I didn't see
that. Well, just given his whole situation.
But he doesn't. The situation would be after this season.
Yeah, after
I fully expect in 2015 he will not be a New England Patriot, and that's why I have said you need to draft a backup of the future.
Right. But I fully expect in 2014 he will be
right.
the backup.
And it's why if they luck out and get Mettenberger, I've said you put him on PUP, bang, he works out in the background, he is your backup next year. Now, if you're drafting a guy right now to be your 2014 backup, that becomes concerning.
It's too premature then to make a move like that this coming offseason is what you're saying.
No, I think they could draft a quarterback, just
yeah.
like you said.
No, I think
in the
they're
middle
going
rounds.
To. But it's for, you know, I keep talking about this 2-year window you look at when building a roster through the draft, and I think that's where that eye is. Towards 2015, you're back up to Brady. Anything beyond that becomes gravy down the road.
Right. Okay. So I get it now. It's just, you know, I was trying to make sense of that article, but yeah, it makes sense now to me.
I'm going to go check that though, and we'll be back to you on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on Thursday.
A slightly different interpretation, like we did with your name to start this call.
Eder, it was right.
Probably.
Eder.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So if you fall off your bike, you take
Eder. Eder, Eric will also be here on Thursday to explain to you why you're mispronouncing your name.
that may or may not happen.
What is your background, Eder? Are you
Hispanic?
Hispanic, sí, señor.
Here he goes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mr.
Me gusta tu nombre. Es bueno.
Andy's amigo con grande cabeza.
Andy's offensive in all languages.
All right. Well, give us a call another time, Eder, when we have a little bit more time for you.
Not a problem, man. One last thing. Great show, guys. You know, it makes my week this offseason.
Mine, too.
So thanks a lot, man.
Bueno.
All right. Thank
adios,
thank
amigo.
You
very
much. Wow. 2 hours. There you go. Done.
Wasn't our best.
Well, it wasn't bad.
And it helped that we had that exclusive PFW wide-ranging one-on-one with Matthew Slater
to
play.
Yeah, we did. It wasn't bad, though.
The one thing I would say, in terms of a non-Fred edition of PFW in Progress, not bad.
I thought we started slow and picked up steam.
Not bad.
Once I started unleashing a few gun jokes. And
inappropriateness.
All right, we're going to close out the show with a little tribute to the day's commemorations. Go ahead, Kev.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed as silence has been, whose trust has sent Christ's Son through the perilous time, for the grand as he was, were so gallantly streamed.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.